Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's Angelina, Shanaz, and Myrtle coming to you from Women of Africa Care on Air. It is Women's Month in the country. We're very excited to talk about women, what women love, what women want, and where women are going and how should they get there. And our topic for episode 62 is Women, We Rise by Lifting Others. How do we as women getting opportunities in the world lift one another? Should we lift one another? No, we shouldn't lift one another. What is the world's way of doing it? And what does the Bible tell us? Shanaz and Myrtle, I came across this quote by Madeleine Albright, and I thought it was a very interesting quote. She says, "We're better together." And we all agree with that, right? Then she goes on to say, "There is a special place in hell for women who don't help other women." As we say from personal experience, there is a special place in heaven for women who support other women. I think the question I have for you ladies today on the panel, is wisdom important for women to lift one another up? Or we don't need wisdom and we can still do it? What are your thoughts on it?
Angelina, heavenly wisdom versus worldly wisdom. We all desire to be wise. We are very inquisitive to know how things work, to be able to answer questions, to make decisions. We seek and search for wisdom and knowledge of the things of this world. Worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom is a big test of faith.
Wow, I love what you're saying. Worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom is a big test of faith. Help us with that, Shanaz. Her comment versus there's a place in hell for those that choose worldly wisdom.
Absolutely. Good day to Gospel for Grampian listeners, and so good to be on the line with Angelina and Myrtle, beautiful sisters in Christ today. I think, you know, Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." I think if we as women think that in our own understanding we will have wisdom, we will surely fail ourselves and one another. We will not be able to help our sisters rise up. For where we lack, we certainly gain knowledge in Christ Jesus. For he is the source of all knowledge. I definitely think that to be in the Lord and to have his wisdom definitely benefits me and everyone else around me. Because as the Father provides me with knowledge, I'm able to love my sisters in Christ as well. Worldly knowledge teaches us to be brutal, to not love one another, not to elevate one another, but rather to use each other as a stepping stone. So the worldly wisdom for me doesn't resonate with my spirit, ladies. I do believe I prefer God's wisdom, because his wisdom brings forth love, patience, tolerance. It brings forth the fruits of the Spirit of God. And I think that's something I always want to inspire to be, is a sister in Christ that can help other sisters rise up with the wisdom and the love of God. Thank you, Angelina.
I love that. I love that, beautiful Shanaz. And again, when we hear the conversations between Myrtle and Shanaz, we can see that it's weighing towards you help other women, ladies. You are going to heaven because you are doing it God's way. If you do it the devil's way, you are just feeding your position towards hell. Or weighing towards hell. There's an imbalance there, right? Myrtle, as we add to what Shanaz is saying, any further comments on the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man?
Worldly wisdom tells us, love your family and friends. Godly wisdom tells us, also love your enemies and bless them. Godly wisdom is telling us to love all people and not select few. Angelina, the Apostle Paul condemns the wisdom of the world, for it is those who live according to the earthly wisdom who despise and reject Christ. It's only in Christ that you have genuine wisdom. You know, Angelina, the reason women fail to lift each other up is because they are following the pattern of the world's wisdom. Women are only merging influential roles in the last decade. Having no mentorship for historic women leadership to help them create communities and network effectively to lift up one another so they follow the rat race of the world, of me, myself, and I. And what does the world pattern look like? James 4, 13 to 17 describes it like this. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your own arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, Gospel for Grampian listeners, women leave God out for success. They behave just as James has said, to become boastful, arrogant, and they worry about the future. Instead of saying, God, you lead me, who I should connect with, what must I do, when must I do it, and how must I do it? That is wisdom of God, if you ask that question, Angelina.
So we understanding that in order to be effective as women and rise up and rise each other up, we need the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of man is selfish. Anything you want to add to what Myrtle has said now?
Thank you, Angelina. I love what Myrtle said about this rat race. The worldly system teaches us that we should only help others rise, who are our family and our friends. But God's way teaches us that even outsiders we should help. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. And I think this is what Myrtle picked up, that race. The world has this vicious cycle where we're constantly consumed with our time and we're in this race. But the Word of God teaches us that we should also help others, we should assist others, and we should make the best use of the time. And I like what Myrtle read further in James 4, where she spoke about we make plans, the worldly system, we do everything ourselves. She read from James 4, verses 13 to 17. And I think what was so beautiful here was in verse 16, it says, instead, we should say, if the Lord wills, we shall love and do this or that. That all our plans should be, which speaks to that heavenly wisdom, should be done within the Lord, that we should not boast in our own arrogance, but rather, because thus the word of God says, this is evil, boasting is evil, that we should have all our plans established in the Lord, and we should do so, making sure that even we apply wisdom towards the outsiders. And the word of God here says that your life is like a vapor. So in other words, in a moment, things can change. We know, I'm sure everybody's experienced when there's death in a family. Just in an instant, that life is like vapor and it is gone, faded away. So what are we doing on this earth? Are we using God's wisdom to help us plan what we should do, and also helping love those around us? again, like Meryl said, it doesn't just apply to family and friends, but it applies, as Colossians says, even to outsiders. Through God, we get wisdom, and He allows us to be able to make plans and not waste time as well. God knows that our time is very valuable. And so He doesn't want us to waste time to be in this rat race, but rather to use our time wisely. Thank you, Angelina.
I love what Myrtle said in that scripture. Lord, You lead us. And that is the wisdom of God and the pattern of God for us. I love what you said, that women are only emerging in society in influential positions now in the last decade. Prior to the last decade, men still had key positions and women were either professionally qualified or in junior positions. We never got to leadership. We never got to having authority. We never got to boardroom as the level that we have now. We don't have anybody to teach us exposure of how to lead in a man's world. If we don't have godly people teaching us that have business experiences, then we are unfortunately going to follow the patterns of how men did it. It's a man's world. So we follow that pattern because there's no woman or not enough women speaking out that have been there in leadership to tell us how to do it God's way. And what happens? We then compete. Why women compete? I love this article by Forbes by Dr. Sean Andrews. Sean is a speaker, author, consultant, professor, and he talks on topics around leadership, gender, emotional intelligence, hidden bias, and diversity and inclusion. He wrote on why don't women support other women? He says, when it comes to this question, there are several reasons why women may not support other women. First, there's an invisible natural law in the female culture that helps to shape how women interact with other women at work and in their personal lives. It's called the power dead even rule. This rule governs relationships, power, and self-esteem. For a healthy relationship to be possible between women, apparently the self-esteem and power of one must be in the eyes of each woman similar in weight to the self-esteem and power of the other. In other words, key elements must be kept dead even. When the power balance gets disrupted, such as women rising in status above the other woman, their women end up talking behind their backs, ostracizing them from the group and belittling them, intimidating them, rejecting them, abandoning them because of jealousy, envy, because now that power dead even rule is no longer there. If you're not on the same level as me, then I'm sorry, I'm not going to lift you up because you cannot be better than me. These behaviors are to preserve the dead even power relationship that women have grown up with their entire lives. Of course, this is a subconscious process. Most women are not aware of this invisible rule and what drives their behavior. But it is a big reason why women sometimes do not support the other woman. Now, that is absolutely scary, but it seems like it makes sense. It makes sense why women don't lift each other up. We have to be on the same level or else we cannot lift each other up. And I think it all comes to that affirmation and acceptance and being loved. And now we take it into the workplaces and to careers as well. And that's actually sad. What are some of the experiences of women pulling each other down? Myrtle, do you have you had any experience where you were pulled out by other women?
Yes, Angelina. I used to work for a company and I had a co-worker that was sucking out my positive energy just to make her feel bad. She was gossiping about me, to make me feel bad. She was gossiping about me in my company where I used to work. She was a kind of friend that act as a genuine friend in front of other people, but in the meanwhile, was selfish and very arrogant. She was very self-focused on her success, and through that, she was pulling other people down. I can't believe that people can be like that. But luckily, we are godly women, so we know what's right and wrong, and we know how to treat people like that. Treat an arrogant person like that with lot of love. Believe me, they can't handle it. But what does the Bible say about people like that? Philippians 2, verse 3 and 5 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We have to, in a situation like this, people can't handle it to see that you're a child of God. So they will treat you like nothing, because the devil is in them. While you're a child of God, you try and behave, and you try and hold your peace. But sometimes it's very, very difficult. You know, my mom used to tell us, you treat people like that with lots of love, they will not be able to handle it. Because God is love. And if you're a child of God, you will treat people the way God will treat you. Isn't that so, Angelina?
You know, Myrtle, what you're saying is so apt, but I want to bring it home to the Christian community. We're seeing this play out in the Christian community. And I believe that is why Paul said that to the Christian community, because Paul was speaking to Christians. And he was saying, this is how you need to behave. You are not of the world anymore. Stop acting like the world. Don't conform to the world. Because when you behave like the world, you are no different to the world. Your light cannot shine if you behave like that. And sadly so, we see people in the Christian families, in the networks, that are pulling each other down, jealous of each other, breaking people's visions because they don't have visions for themselves, so they pull each other's visions down. So we're talking to you, Gospel for Grampian listeners today. Don't look at the world and start judging the world for their bad behavior. They don't know God. You cannot expect anything less. But start becoming more aware of your own patterns, your own heart, because we are supposed to follow the word of God. That is our mirror. And if we in our own Christian circles are operating with jealousy and envy, then how on earth is the world going to catch on that light or even see the light when we behave just like them? I mean, just recently I was on the business networks and I noticed that they were like, you know, we're talking about arrogance and, you know, bad behavior and jealousy and envy. There was so much of arrogance and pride being communicated in women in leadership and business networks. It grieved me. And in all of that arrogance and pride, where they're pulling others down and lifting themselves up or ignoring others that are emerging in the industry and pulling themselves up and up and up, forgetting that, hey, pull some other ones up with you as well. They put God in it at the end of the accolades, acknowledging God at the end. But on top of everything, before they get to God, there's such prideful comments. Now, I'm talking to Christian women here. We can't go out and preach the word when we're not living it. There is absolutely no reason for us to pull each other down, because the Bible says we must esteem others more highly than ourselves. And I'm sure, Myrtle, if you have to go back behind the history of the lady that spoke to you, she probably was Christian too. And to see that our own Christian native are behaving in this way is very, very sad. What are your thoughts on that, Shanaz?
Absolutely, Angelina. I can share the same sentiment with Myrtle and yourself this evening. I also went through an experience where I had a Christian leader at work who was doing exactly the same thing, putting me down. Yet I was doing all the work. I got no recognition. And in this, the Lord taught me to do good, irrespective of what she was doing towards me. It was a very painful and difficult process, because in my flesh as a man, as a woman, in my own ability, I wanted to act out and also get back at her. But the Lord was constantly dealing with me. He made me realize that I have to set the example. It wasn't so much about what she was doing, but the character that the Lord wanted to build within my life. And it was a painful process. Proverbs 11:25 says, there's a blessing in doing good and generosity. The Lord blesses those who do good for others. And constantly, the Holy Spirit would remind me, I shouldn't keep my eyes focused on what she's doing, but I must reflect upon my life and am I demonstrating Christ. Irrespective of what she did, the Lord always wanted me to love according to His word. And it was so difficult because Angelina and Maril, this was also a born-again woman, my leader, and portraying exactly what the world was portraying. So I was very challenged. And the Lord deals with us individually. And it's not so much about what the other person is doing, but exactly what you're saying, Angelina, we have to be the light of this world. If we as Christians are not the light of the world, then what does the world have to reflect upon to say that there is a God and look how loving He is if we as Christians in our own community cannot express the love of Jesus? And I just want to leave the listeners with a few tips in terms of what can we do as God-fearing women to make sure that we help other women. There's six tips I'd like to give. It's to make sure women's ideas are heard. So when we are sitting in those forums, whether it's in church, in your workplace, when a woman is speaking, sometimes men tend to speak over them. Let us support our fellow women and make sure that their ideas are also heard. Let us encourage those who are sitting in those forums to give that woman the opportunity to conclude her idea. Also challenge the likable female team. Sometimes we women face a double standard that men don't. Men must be assertive, but we as women must always be nurturing and collaborative. So it does become quite a challenge when we want to also be assertive. Sometimes people will say that we're being aggressive and ambitious. So when we are being assertive, let us check ourselves to make sure that we're being assertive without actually being over-ambitious and putting others down at the cost of us being assertive. And the third one is celebrate women's accomplishments. When you see somebody else being successful, be that voice to echo what she's actually achieved. Let us also celebrate one another's accomplishments. The fourth one is encourage women to go for it. Sometimes we are all so hesitant to actually pursue what we want to do. I admire yourself, Angelina and Maro, for what you have started in Women of Africa Care. Your ladies have tremendous faith and you just went for it. You heard the voice of the Lord and you went. And sometimes we have nobody that's out there to encourage us. Let us be those voices to encourage the next woman. Also give direct feedback. But again, the feedback must be done in a way to build up and not to break down. I think it's so important that we do this with the good intention and not a malicious intention. Also, mentor and sponsor other women. We need to invest. We need to make sure that we put our time and our effort into making sure that other women grow and become successful. Sometimes we think we can change other people, but all we can do is change ourselves.
I love what you're saying, Shanaz, and it's actually talking to me. And for women out there that are in leadership, hear what Shanaz is saying. Know yourself enough that when you need to be assertive, you do it in a way that it doesn't be perceived that you're pulling or breaking people down. Because in that assertiveness, whoever's under your leadership might think you're breaking them down when you're correcting them. And I am a very strong personality, and Myrtle can vouch for that. Very, very strong personality. And I run with things, and I run very quickly. And sometimes I have no emotion when I'm correcting. And if you don't know me personally, you will think I'm breaking you down. So what I do is the minute I finish correct, or while I'm correcting in between, I will give the assurance, I love you, you know I care. I want the best for you. And then at the end, I love you, you know I care. I want the best for you, because I know my personality and I run with things quickly. If I don't give that assurance in between, then I know the person are going to feel broken instead of seeing that I'm actually meaning well. Because sometimes you can mean the best for the person when you are lifting them up and helping them run their race. But if you don't give them the assurance, the way that you speak it with a straightforward, candid approach can make them perceive that the grass is blue and the grass is actually green. And you are telling them it's green grass, but because of the way you're saying it, they get offended and they think the grass is blue and they cannot see what you're seeing, and your team's falling apart.
Angelina, I just want to say to the ladies out there, I want to thank God for what he's doing for me, for his grace, his mercy, that he's forgiving me if I did anything wrong, that he can forgive me, for his protection, for his guidance, for his peace, for his unfailing love for us. God loves us so much for being my Savior. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can be my Savior and that you forgive me daily, so that I can forgive other people as well.
Gospel for Grampian listeners, when I listen to Myrtle, I think about our late Mandela, who we celebrated his birthday in the month of July. There were two things that he said that he had to leave behind in prison. And had he not done that, he would definitely have not moved into presidency when he came out, because he would have still been a prisoner of war. He said, I had to leave behind hatred and bitterness and put on forgiveness and goodness. And that's exactly what Myrtle is saying, that as a businesswoman, she has to be submitted to the Lord, thanking God, acknowledging God in everything, and having an attitude of forgiveness. And I think having that attitude daily is the most important thing that keeps us humble in order for us to edify one another. And I believe the reason Paul was such a dynamic leader and wrote so much of the New Testament was he said, I was the worst of you all, but God gave me grace. When we can see ourselves lesser than anybody else in terms of, I'm lifting other people up because I'm a great sinner, but God forgave me, so I can never judge anybody else. I can never be better than anybody else because grace saved me. When we have that kind of mindset, I believe Gospel for Grampian Listeners, we will walk in the journey of rising others up. It's a heart attitude, a heart attitude. Gospel for Grampian Listeners, I'm thinking about what Myrtle said now. She said in Philippians 2:3-5, verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What is that mindset? Have that same mindset. Because if we want to edify and lift one another up, we can't do it in our own ability. We have to have the mind of Christ. In our own ability, like Shanaz and Myrtle says, we're going to behave like the world and become selfish. But to lift one another up genuinely without any selfish ambitions, we have to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that mindset is described in Romans 15:1-9. We who are strong are to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, says Paul, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, we may glorify God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And like Shanaz says, how we glorify God is how we interact with one another, how we behave, how we let our light shine. He says here in verse 7, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. In order to bring praise to God, accepting one another means I lift one another up. I serve one another. Jesus taught his disciples, Shanaz, about serving when he washed their feet. And Peter said, no, you can't do that. He says, I have to do it. You don't have a choice. I have to wash your feet. Because meaning, if you need to serve, I need to do it first. Hey? And then he goes on to say in verse 8, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Gospel for Grampian listeners, when we lift one another and serve one another and esteem others more highly than ourselves, then the gospel is spread to the Gentiles so that God may be glorified. What are your thoughts on that, Shanaz?
Absolutely, Angelina. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he displayed one of the characteristics of being humble. He displayed true humility. He didn't take on his position and made it about his position, but he served. He had a servant leadership attitude. His heart was to serve others. And so we as women have to have that same peaceable and gentle servant leadership. We must be able to serve upon one another. It's not about, this is my title and so now I'm entitled to this position and therefore I'm above you. But Jesus demonstrated it. Even though he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that through his humility, he could serve on his disciples. It also speaks about love, Angelina, when Jesus was able to demonstrate that. I think James 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to heal, full of partiality, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So this describes for me also who Jesus is. He's the writer speaking about how we as Christians should demonstrate this wisdom, this godly wisdom in our day-to-day lives. We should be peaceable and gentle. We shouldn't be causing strife. We should be gentle in what we do and how we deal with one another. We should also be willing to heal. So when somebody else is perhaps in a position that where they're better off, we should be willing to heal. And we should do so without partiality. And through the books of the New Testament, we see the life of Jesus. He was always humble, always willing to help. And when he spoke or reprimanded, he did so in love. And I love what you said, Angelina, when you're giving somebody feedback, because of you actually know your personality and you know how you would come across, but you're affirming the person. So as women, we should know our personalities so that we are able to understand how we need to speak to the next person without causing harm as well. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. You know, Shanaz, before we talk about a lovely inspiration by Shelley Zalas, I want to give a testimony, or not a testimony, about an experience I heard recently. So there's this group of people that we worked on a project in history. And in recent, one of the team players that worked with me on a project got onto this project. And when she got onto this project and she had to face this whole group of community people, the very person that she worked with before was leading this project. And so she was under this person in this project. And a little while later, some of the community leaders came to this person and said to them, what is wrong between you and the leader? Because it looks like she hates you. You can actually see it. Now, these are two women working on a project in history. They're now back on a project, but in different companies, working on the project. One's the boss and the other one is submitting, but two different companies they work for. And outside people that don't know they know each other are coming to one of them and saying, what's between you and that lady? Because it looks like she can kill you. Now, women are emotional. So when we express our negative feelings towards people, it can be seen. And it was absolutely embarrassing, Shanaz, for me to hear that community people are noticing two women in the energy sector hating each other, yet they're both working on a project for one common goal. How do you bring that common goal together when you're out to kill each other on this project team on site? There's no way you're going to complete the project, because division does not bring success. It makes everything fall apart. So that gospel for Grampian troubled me to think that we are embarrassing our womanhood and our women in power when we can't stand together and work together for the greater good. Because those people from the community, if they want to have their way, they can already see these two women not standing together. They're going to feed and enjoy the division amongst these two to play each other in order to get their way. There is no power in strife, division, envy, jealousy, and hatred. Absolutely no power. If anything, you are rendered powerless, and whoever comes against women that work together on projects that are divided, the ones that come against them are going to win effortlessly, because the division between women will cause that. So I urge you today, Gospel for Grampian listeners, if God said unity, he commands blessings. There must be unity in everything we do. And especially now, if we need to come together as a sisterhood and build nations, because we are called to build nations. Our nations are built in the places we work, whether it be in our career paths, in a corporate environment, in our home with our family or in communities, whatever vocation we are in. To be a community builder, we have to work together in unity, lifting everybody up. Edifying everyone higher than ourselves, not just edifying the women in our team, but the word of God says we rise by lifting others, meaning those that are in our space, both male and female, young and old. We must not be intimidated with the youth coming in and think, oh no, we got to keep them away. Everybody, the Bible does not put any prejudice or discrimination when he says edify one another. He doesn't say if they're younger than you, you mustn't edify them. If they're older than you, you mustn't edify them. If they are male, you mustn't edify them. If they are female, you mustn't edify them. We got to edify everybody in our space. That's how we rise up, because in unity, God commands a blessing. I want to just talk about Shelley Zellers. She made the study, which I absolutely love. And I think, Shanaz, as we go along, you can add to it. She did a study that shows what happens when women support each other. She says here, study shows women who support women are more successful in business. I want to repeat that. Shelley Zellers says, women who support women are more successful in business. Gospel for Grampian listeners who are businesswomen, you become more successful when you support other women in business. Don't think it the other way. If you're not successful, it's because you're not supporting other women. Shelley is the CEO of the Female Quotient, and she works with Fortune 500 companies to advance gender equality across industries. Female Quotient has got more than 18,000 connections with women in business, and they created the largest female community to transform workforce culture. She's given some advice on how to find and cultivate a close network of female professionals. She says this, number one, take the word work out of networking. She says, my advice to women is to reframe what networking is. The fact alone that the word has work in it creates pressure for women to feel like it's something they have to do. And then they see women stress about how to do it. She says, simply putting yourself in environments that give you the opportunity to meet with peers and get to know each other and share experiences can be a game changer. When you create connections based on shared interests and goals, you'll be more successful at your job because people want to work with people they know and like. And chances are, if you make meaningful connections, they are ones that would last a lifetime. So she's saying networking doesn't have to be work if you get your working out of it and find like-minded people in those platforms. Secondly, she says, prioritize relationship building. You don't do business with a company. You do business with people you like and trust. This is from Erica Keswin. I've always prioritized time with my girlfriends. To make these connections, you first have to decide if it is important to you. And then she says, does your calendar reflect your values? A lot of time it doesn't, not because we're bad people, but because we have so much on our plates. She says, ask yourself, are relationships important and why? And it could be because you want a new job or to move up in your career. We're not connecting when left to our own devices. So schedule time for it. Schedule time to build relationships. The next one she says is, know that connection building isn't one and done. This is by Linda Yakirano, who's the chairperson of advertising at partnerships at NBC Universal. She says, know that connection building isn't one and done, meaning networking is one and done. It's where you shake someone's hand and give them a business card. Where does that leave you? The stack of business cards on your desk. A relationship, on the other hand, touches your heart and creates an everlasting partnership. To keep connections alive, they must be nurtured. Seek out people you admire. Ask for advice and follow up. Participate wherever and however you can. In short, be a doer. So in relationships, we must be a doer. Number four, this is by Rebecca Weiser, and she's the co-founder and director of communications at WOMAZE, an app centered around self-empowerment for women. She says, amplify other women. She says, I love the shine theory, which is the idea that when you help other women rise, we all shine. And I think that is what Myrtle Shanaz and I are saying today. We all shine when we help other women rise. Build other women up. If you see your co-workers doing a great job, give them credit. Exactly what Shanaz was saying. Tell your boss or other co-workers about how good they worked. And then she says, at first it seems like you're taking attention away from yourself, but you're actually showing that you're a support team player as well as an inspiring leader and secure enough in yourself to praise others. I love that. Again, this is what Shanaz was saying, that when we secure enough in ourselves, we can praise others. And how to find security in ourselves is through God. If He gave you a purpose, you don't have to compete with others and be worried that your purpose is not going to be fulfilled, because God will equip you for the purpose. And lastly, this word by Pam Kaufman, president of Viacom Nickelodeon Global Customer Products. She says, find your squad and tap into them. I absolutely love this one, Shanaz. Who would be your go-to group of girls if you had an emergency? If you needed honest advice or wanted a key business introduction? When it comes to building relationships, you often get what you give. And she says, who is on your team? She didn't mean people I manage, but who I had in my professional life that served as my support network. She says, I began building my squad, people I could bounce ideas off, go to for advice, pick me up when I needed a boost. Today, my squad is so important for my career and my mental well-being. Not only do we support each other, but we act as connectors to people and opportunities. Whenever one of us comes across a great opportunity, we immediately send it to each other. It is amazing to be part of a group of women who want to be your very best and actively help you to succeed. They want you to be at your very best and they help you succeed. And I love this again. I want to remind our listeners, we better together. There is a special place for women who support other women in heaven. Shanaz, as we end our women inspiration today, I want to talk about the two kinds of wisdom, and then I want you to minister to women that there's no reason to compete and compare and fight and pull each other. We just make ourselves look bad in the public. We have all the reason to lift each other up because God created us to be a community. And as community builders, there's no better place than to build our very own kind women, because we are womankind. We're one of a kind and we are womankind. We understand each other, so we should never, ever, ever have a problem to lift each other up. I want to leave our listeners today with the two kinds of wisdom that God describes. He says this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom doesn't come from heaven, but it is earthly." And this is the scriptures that Shanaz spoke about earlier. And I want to echo it today. Such wisdom, selfish ambition, is earthly wisdom. It is unspiritual and it is demonic. And where it is, there is envy and selfish ambition. You find disorder and every evil practice. Exactly what I said, that these two women got on a project again. And the community members could see the envy, the selfish ambition, the corruption, the hatred, the poison between these two women. And if the community wanted to fight for their own things, they know that this is the breeding ground for them to get what they want because these women don't stand together. Please, the enemy is waiting to find ways to pull down everything that God wants us to build. God has given us women ideas and concepts to build great things. But if we have this kind of worldly wisdom attitude that is described here in James, then women are not going to win. Women are going to fall apart. I love what James 3:17 says. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peaceful, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. I can tell you that if these two women had that kind of attitude in the playing field where they are now, the communities would never have been bold enough to come and talk to one of them and say, "Whoa, there's danger here." Let there be no room for us, Gospel for Grampian listeners, women. Let there be no room for us that when people want to come and pull down a God idea, they will not be able to come near us, because we stand together, united in lifting each other up. We are able to see our own personal God ideas come to pass. As we've shared today, myself and Shanaz, some tips on how to, on woman power and the value of woman power, we believe and trust that you will no longer follow the patterns of the world, but rather renew your mind in Christ Jesus. Because when you have the mind of Christ Jesus, there is no fear, there is no jealousy, there is no envy. Then you can build others up. And never have to worry that if you are the only female in your team and there's men around, you never have to say, "No, men have all the opportunity. I'm not going to build them up." No, build them up, because the word of God says we must edify one another. So don't say, "If they're not female, I'm not going to build them up." I encourage you today. The word of God says we rise by lifting others up. So build others up. Don't just build females. Your last sentiments, Shanaz.
Thank you, Angelita. I want to say to the women this evening, don't let pride stand in the way of you building relationships with other women. Don't let pride be the cause of you being isolated. And like Angelina, shared some awesome tips with us this evening. Don't look at network as work. Take out the work and build meaningful, valuable relationships. Because pride can cause us to fall as women. So So perhaps it's pride this evening that's standing in the way of you developing true relationships with women that you actually need to surround yourself with. Then have that go-to team. I love what Angelina said, that we should build a circle of women that we can go to that is our ladies that can help us, whether it's with ministry, with your family, with your career, with your business, but have that crew around you that you can tap into. Don't let pride keep you away from doing that. I think many a times it's actually pride that keeps us from connecting with other people. I want to leave you with a scripture, James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let us rather be humble so that God can give us grace. Thank you so much, Angelina. I hope that this message has inspired the ladies. I certainly have been encouraged again just to put myself out there. Sometimes I think we limit ourselves, and maybe it's because of pride. Because when we think too much of ourselves, we don't want to connect with others. Thank you.
And thank you, Shanaz. And, you know, adding to what Shanaz has said, you know, Shanaz is our incoming board of director on Women of Africa Care. And we're so excited to have her on board. And she's really my bouncing board. I bounce things through her, and she's absolutely amazing. And there's so much of value of having the right woman in your space for your calling. Not every woman is allowed to be in your space because not everybody shares your vision. But it's important, like those ladies have been discussing in that Forbes magazine, find the group of women that share your vision, where you build each other's visions through your own vision. Because God has got people set up to help each of us build our own visions. And in building our visions, we are building their visions too. As we help them, they help us, and we both rise together. And what I've learned, Shanaz, is that I've got that group. And that group, I am vulnerable in. I can be vulnerable with them, because when I need counsel, they need to know every part of me, so that when they counsel me, they can say it in a way that I will not manipulate them or intimidate them. Because it's so easy for us to manipulate when we are in a team, just to feel self-pity. And so when you get your go-to friends, tell them everything about you, your strengths and your weaknesses. It's supposed to be a team of people where you can be at your most vulnerable and at your best. Because when they know the best of you and the worst of you, they will know how to be honest to you. If they don't see the best of you and they see you as a weak person, being honest to you, they will be maybe slightly backed away, because they will find it that you might find it intimidating, and they'll be afraid to be honest with you. So when you show your friend, your go-to buddies, when you tell them everything about you in terms of your best and your worst, then you know that you will get the best counsel out of them, because they know everything about you, and they will know how to land the truths about your circumstances to you in a way that will build you up and not discourage you. Also, what I picked up is I use them as my accountability. So when I'm weak, I tell them my weak stuff. If I've done something wrong, I tell them I've done something wrong, because I need accountability. And so it's important, Gospel for Grampian listeners, women. Shanaz said, pride can stop you of getting value out of your relationships. But if you are humble enough to say, I have weaknesses and I do have strengths, and if you bring those weaknesses and strengths out and you use that go-to group as your accountability group, then you will flourish, because they know everything about you, and they respect you in your weaknesses, and they respect you in your strengths. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Shanaz, and you can just pray for the women as we say goodbye, and that the Lord take them to a level where they can rise each other up.
Thank you, Angelina. I think I've learned so much again this evening. This has been so valuable. I hope that the listeners will enjoy it and receive it well. I think just one scripture I want to leave with the listeners, Philippians 2 verse 14, the New International Version. It says, look not every man on his own things, not to be self-seeking, having sympathy towards the things of others, not merely interests, but ideas, aspirations of others. And I think that's what I'm taking with me again this evening. You know, it's just become so much more profound in that we shouldn't be self-seeking. We shouldn't have pride that will cause us not to invest ourselves into others. And when my sister rises, we all rise. So profound, Angelina, and we all shine the light of the Lord Jesus. So let's pray together this evening. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to share this evening. Thank you, Father, that we were able to encourage not only the listeners but ourselves this evening through your word. We pray, O Lord, that as the listeners would hear the word of God, that they would be refreshed, that you will reveal the truth to them, Father God, where they perhaps have been struggling with certain mindsets, O God, that the mind of Christ will come upon them, O Lord, as you give them revelation of this word this evening. I pray, Abba Father, that women will be able to cause the sisters to rise in strength in Christ because of their renewed mindset in the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, not only women, but youngsters, men, all will rise in Christ because we will no longer be putting ourselves first, O Lord, but we will, Father God, through the word of God, be humble just like Jesus was, where he washed the feet of the disciples, willing to serve, O Lord, that we will become those true servants of God as we will become pleasing unto you, Lord, that our lives will be like a sweet aroma unto you, O God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that every, Father, chain of heaviness will be lifted from all the listeners, O Lord, that they, Father God, will embrace the word of God, and this word will be much fruit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.